Welcome to the 4 Million Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 12th of July, recording at 9:34 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly weaker. The bigger declines occurred in Hong Kong, down 2% with the Hang Seng Index, with the HSCEI down a similar amount. Then Japan's Nikkei down 1.5%. China staged, A shares, that is, staged a modest rally. And that closed, actually produced a small key day reversal. Now to the upside. Now elsewhere, though, the Korean stock market was weak despite an interest rate cut. And Taiwan was soft as well. In Europe, we had mostly modest declines of less than 1%, although the exceptions were we had declines of over 2% for Spain and Italy. Despite some early declines, further declines in their bond yields, although they firmed up off the lows as the day progressed. Now, in Wall Street, or in the Americas, I should say, I can see on the screen one gainer. That was Mexico, but up a tiny fraction. Wall Street was down, but it recovered most of the losses that it had seen in earlier trading. At the end of the day, the S&P was down 0.5%. Excuse me, that's down 6.6 points to 1334.76, and it had been 9 points lower. And the S&P closed down 0.75%. Now, long-dated government bond prices were quietly steady against that background. The US dollar index was fractionally firmer. It had better strength against the Australian dollar, which has fallen back to 101.39. Also, let's see, the euro slipped to 122 as I speak. It has been a little bit lower. Sterling has also slipped down to 1.5424. So the dollar pretty firm across the boards, except against the Japanese yen, which probably, well, I think undoubtedly was the strongest currency in the world here today. So that dollar slipping to 79.29 yen. Precious metals. Well, we had a bit of a rout there for a while, but they recovered most of it. In the case of silver, a little bit more than the entire decline. But to give you an idea, we have spot silver, or actually it's first month futures contract silver, trading at $27.135. That's up on the day, up 11 cents. But it had been, remember this, 27.13 and a half. It had been down to 26.42 and a half. So that's a good recovery, leaving a tail on the chart. Now, gold, not dissimilar action here overall. Gold is currently trading at 15.71 and 75 cents. So it's almost 15.72. But it had been quite a bit lower, down to 55 at one stage. Crude oil had been a little bit weaker for most of the day, but then recovered a bit to close pretty much unchanged on the day. So that's 85.78 for the WTI. In grains and beans, now we did not get downside follow through after yesterday's key day reversals for corn and soybeans. Soybeans had quite a modest rally. Corn had a much bigger rally, 28 and a quarter cents. That caused it to close at 7.32 and a quarter. And wheat, which it did not have a key yesterday, but it had been ranging for about 4 days, actually broke up to a new high for the year, up at 8.46 and three quarters. That's the main action overall. Industrial metals a little bit easier. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, one heck of a lot of nervousness still, but some markets have bucked that trend. Although they gave up a little bit of ground today. I've been saying, as has Owen, that the ASEAN sector in Asia has been particularly strong, and so they're well above their 200-day moving averages, which are rising. But a bit of a pause in here today. Very different patterns exist for the Hong Kong HSCEI, that's the enterprise index. Also China, although China A shares had that little upside key day reversal here today. It was sufficiently small, so I wouldn't pay a whole lot of attention to it unless we get some good upside follow through tomorrow. Now, that's not impossible by any means, is because we're down near last year's reaction lows, and it is oversold, albeit still within this orderly staircase step sequence downward trend, as you may recall from the charts that I've posted, or you can see so clearly on the daily chart for the A-share index. But South Korea, despite an interest rate cut falling today, it's broken underneath its June low. And as has the HSCEI. So those are definitely soft spots there, and Taiwan is down near those lows. So the exact opposite of what we're seeing for the ASEAN indices. Interesting. Now, with the European indices, we have modest gains in here. I beg your pardon, modest declines in here across the board. It's a little bit bigger in Italy and Spain. I think I mentioned they're down over 2%. UK index down almost 1%. Wall Street had been quite weak when the European markets closed. So Asia gets any sort of steadying whatsoever, then we may see a little bit of a pickup in Europe, at least during the early hours tomorrow, since Wall Street pegged back those gains. But nervousness really is the abiding overall theme. In terms of these U.S. indices, which are so important as far as the influence on other stock markets is concerned, the leash effect, in other words, that we talk about so often. The Dow and the S&P and the Nasdaq are getting quite close to that late June reaction low. Now, if they're going to maintain the consistency of the pattern shown, this great little ranging recovery that started with the early June low, then they should be finding support right around current levels. If they take out that late June reaction low, that would be eroding a little bit of support, but I would emphasize once again that it's the early June reaction lows that are the important ones. And so far, we've got some reasonable breathing space between those early June reaction lows and today's levels. But the overall broader pattern, if you look at it over a year or more, is just was one of ranging activity, and it's hard to see why we should break dramatically out of that to the upside here today. There's plenty of bearish sentiment looking for lower levels. I really won't join that camp unless we do see those early June reaction lows taken out by Wall Street. Now, looking around the globe, the vast majority of stock markets are above those early June reaction lows, and I've highlighted some of the weaker ones that are not. The inform sectors tend to be quite defensive. Dividend aristocrats are still doing well. Owen's got a terrific review of healthcare sectors around the globe, and they're very much in form as well. Now, this latest pullback, though, has caused some of the autonomies, anything that's industrial, and some of the consumer autonomies that were doing so well for such a long time. A number of those have moved a little below their rising 200-day moving averages, and even a few of those 200-day MAs, which represent an approximation of the trend mean, a few of those have actually turned down in line with this general nervousness. You know, we like the autonomies as a theme. Very much on a longer-term basis, it makes sense. These are brand leaders. They have strong balance sheets. They are benefiting from the growth in the global middle class. But here, in an overall global economic slowdown, there are obviously question marks over consumer demand in this environment right now, and therefore some question marks over turnover and profits in the near term. And I think for those autonomies that cater to the rise in the growth economies, middle classes, I think they will need to see some evidence that the slowdown in China has been checked, and that growth is get some hints that growth is actually starting to pick up once again. Now, that's not going to happen this week or next. We may need to get into the fourth quarter of this year before we see that, and hopefully we will see that, and I think we should see that, because these economies, and this includes India, are now more concerned about growth than they are about inflation, and so they should be. Long-dated government bond prices, meanwhile, remain very, very firm, supported by QE in a number of countries, and that still applies to the US and the UK, and it's just flight to so-called safety. The trouble is, though, that these markets are so out of line with historic norms in terms of yields that, they're as safe as they can be until they stop being safe. And point I'm trying to get across there is that they do not recommend good value in any kind of historic context. One can say, well, this is a very different type of environment, and indeed it certainly is. And if we get lots more deleveraging and deflationary pressures, then they can hold these levels for really quite some time. But the endless printing of money and some of the competitive devaluations are, it's my feeling is that it's only a matter of time, over the medium to longer term, before those inflation pressures do start to pick up. They certainly will when we next manage to stimulate any kind of synchronized global economic recovery. But right now we have the opposite of that. We have still a synchronized global economic slowdown, with correspondingly bearish sentiment, which I think in some instances is overreacting. I've got a Jamil Baz article that came in with an email that I spent a lot of time answering here today. It's an interesting piece, though, and he's a heavyweight, analytically speaking. Now, what else to mention? Precious metals. Really, I talked yesterday, I think, about trampolining. It's a term that quite a long time ago, for the ranging activity that would indicate accumulation, indicate that demand was getting the upper hand while a market was still within the trading range. And the way that works, I can describe the picture to you, that we would get within the range, we would get the market sagging lower fairly slowly, and it's as if it's in the canvas of a soft trampoline, but the weight is still carrying it down a little bit. But a classic example, if we think of gold and silver, I think they've fallen for 6 or 7 consecutive days to get back to levels that are just above the last 2 to 3 day rallies that were very powerful in terms of their upward dynamics. So, in other words, bullish trampolining coming down more slowly and springing up more quickly from range lows. But to reaffirm that pattern and to reaffirm that this is indeed a support building process, we do need to see an upward dynamic here now. The tails that we, that was looking bad this morning, but the tails that we saw here today on those charts, in other words, they rallied from the lower levels, these precious metals, that may encourage some follow-through, and we have a slightly oversold stochastics reading, not a deeply oversold reading by any means, but we will see. And the bullish hypothesis, a lot of people, Owen and I were talking about this morning, a lot of people are giving these bold forecasts. The more rational ones are for something in the 2000 region in 2013, and that would be very much in line with the view that I have detailed, saying that we're moving from the distribution phase, which is dominated by selling pressure, in a lengthy medium-term correction following upward acceleration, such as we saw in precious metals last year with gold, when gold moved to its highs in August and September of last year. So we should be moving, as I say, into the accumulation phase, which would be consistent with that evidence of trampolining that I described a few moments ago. But to confirm that demand is regaining the upper hand, we really do need to see a ranging upward trend established, and that's not the case. We're still ranging here near these lows, and there are a fair number of people who are saying that we might actually see another shot to the downside in line with the overall global deleveraging. Well, we can't rule that out at this stage. One more good dynamic, and I think to the upside, and I think that would increase the prospects of a break to the upside out of these ranges next month, if not sooner. We will see, as they say. Industrial metals, they're well oversold on a medium-term basis, but still fairly soft. Crude oil, this pullback is very good for the global economy because it has reversed what was a clear headwind a few months ago, and which contributed to this synchronized global economic slowdown. And it also worried central banks a great deal in terms of inflationary pressures, and rightly so. And again, this though at today's levels, we've had a favorable reset. So, a lot of pieces are falling into place here for the next recovery. But does it take a few more months before we see evidence of it? Well, I hope it comes sooner, but it may not. And but to say the pieces are falling into place. And the other one, of course, which has been the case all along, is that extremely low level of interest rates. The counter argument to that is that people are concerned about the deflationary pressures. And the US dollar, good litmus test for global confidence. When the dollar is firm, people are nervous, and vice versa. And there she stands. Roll on tomorrow. All the best.